This is the Living Fearless Today podcast, a show that helps men like you and me who are struggling to get unstuck and overcome fear to live confidently and courageously. I'm your host and transformation coach, Mike Forrester, helping you create the change you want now. Join me as I interview men who've conquered their challenges and soared to success as they spill their secrets on how they live fearless today. Well, hello and welcome back, my friend. This week, we're going to be talking quite a bit about marriage and the challenges that come with it. Because if you're married or you've even been in a relationship, dude, there is all kinds of expectations, some of them spoken, most of them unspoken, unless we're really clearly communicating. And it's like there's the day-to-day with work, business, you have children. There's an additional level of complexity to it all. I mean, I think we can all come and say like, yeah, that doesn't smooth things over, make it any easier. It is just like you're trying to fill all these buckets equally, keep yourself in a great place, and it can just be overwhelming. And today I've got Larry Pruitt, who he's a marriage counselor, coach. He and his wife, Sue, you know, they're helping entrepreneurs. And so whether you're an entrepreneur or not, you know, you're working 9 to 5 or sometimes it's 9 to 9, right? Regardless of which space that you're in, these are truths that can help us as men to both improve ourselves, improve our relationship, our marriage, you know, as being a father. Dude, just really looking forward to jumping in here. So Larry, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing great, Mike. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the invite. Really looking forward to digging in and just providing value and help and hope for anybody who's listening in.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And just from the talks that we've had, you know, it's one of those that there's so much similarity between like the experiences and I think a lot of it is just universal. It involves more than one person, right? So I'm really looking forward to hearing from you in where you've gone and how you've changed and where you're at today. And let's actually use that as the starting point is, what does life look like for you today?
Yeah. And like you're saying, so much of our story lines up, and I find that and a very common thing when I'm talking to guys, and we've been married a little bit longer than most people. Like I've been married for 36 years, and we're entrepreneurs, and so that may be a little bit different than what other people's journey is, but there's just a lot of connection points along the way. So for today, my wife and I run a business together, and it's called Side by Side Business. And we are coaching, helping married entrepreneurs in their journey of adding a layer of amazing amount of stress, entrepreneurship, on top of a relationship that just has natural stress and strains and struggles that are already built into it. And so we really primarily focus on the marriage relationship itself. Mm-hmm. And what we have found is just, it's not a magic switch or anything like that. But when couples can get that foundational relationship developed and they are communicating well and things are going well in the home, the business has a tendency to grow and to take off. And again, I can't guarantee that to people, but it's something we've seen as a common thread throughout the couples that we work with. And this is a new endeavor for us. Really, mm-hmm. we've been entrepreneurs for over 20 years. The last 12 and a half years have been full time, but we were in the e-commerce space. And so that's something I could talk about today if that's of interest, but just that transition, it's like we're starting over again. And it's really just the last several months that we have been on this journey of moving from primarily e-commerce as well as coaching people in e-commerce space to now we're still doing some e-commerce, but we've sold off part of that business. And now we are really focusing in on helping the married couples who are entrepreneurs.
Oh, man. Yeah. Whether you're running the business or transitioning it, there is all kinds of things that pull and tug and just create all kinds of stress, right? It's opportunity, but it can also be stressful. Well, let's jump back. So you have 5 adult children at this point in time. So 20 years, right? You're not always, you've been at the point of having younger kids. You guys were homeschooling them. You've got the marriage. Like, Larry, that's a lot. How do you keep that balance in life and yet not sacrifice yourself in the process? Because that's a lot of different plates to keep spinning. And then also to make sure you're still there to spin those plates.
Yes, for sure. And we use that analogy of spinning plates all the time and get one of those plates going, and then you can move on to something else. So I think that there's a lesson just in that, just alone, is you get one thing under control. And we would always say to be working on the marriage foundational relationship first. As that plate is spinning, you got to keep coming back and touching that up every once in a while. Okay. So it's not like you get it going and like, I'm now an expert at this. There's still miscommunication that my wife and I have, you know, after being married all these decades. And so if we go back in our story, though, I had a full-time job where I was about 30, 32 hours a week. And I don't think they make those anymore, right? I worked for a dentist office, and the dentist office was closed on Fridays. And so I was working 4 days a week. And I literally had free time on my hands. At that stage, our kids, our oldest would have been like 10 years old. Our youngest wasn't even born yet. And so my wife was very busy with taking care of the kids and homeschooling and just trying to put food on the table and everything. And so I thought, I've got this extra time. I'm going to start selling some stuff on eBay. And it was very part-time. I worked very close to home. And so I would literally come home during my lunch break, and I would go down to my office in the basement, and I would check to see if anything had sold. And if so, I would box it up, and then I would just have to eat really fast and go to the post office on the way back to work. So it was complete hustle stage for our whole family. And fast forward then to 2012. So we had been doing that for several years. I needed to leave my day job. It was just such a stressful, toxic environment. And at one point, my wife just said, you know, you've got to stop doing this to yourself. She knew that I was doing it for the family, but she was like, you're not present. When you're home, you're just this blank stare. Like, I'm talking to you, and you're not hearing me. And I can't, she was just like, I don't want to keep doing this. I don't care what the consequences are financially or whatever. And so I'm very fortunate. My wife is very risk tolerant. And so she was like, let's take that leap off the cliff here and try to build this plane as we're going down the hill. And so I turned in my notice at my job, and I literally gave 6 months notice. So that's a very unusual circumstance, but I knew a lot of things that nobody else knew there. And I wanted to take care of my employer. And I didn't know, though, if they were going to say, just leave right now. Or they end up using, it's kind of funny, they used every day of the 6 months, and then they hired me as a consultant to continue to help out the transition time period. But we during that 6 month time period, we ramped up our e-commerce business. We had 6 months worth of savings in the bank, and we said, we're going to give this a 6 month runway and see what happens. And we're approaching 13 years now, and so it's worked out. It has not been the best financial decision, I'll be honest with you, but it has been the best decision for my family, for my relationships that are the most important for me. So no regrets.
Yeah. Well, and dude, just you saying no regrets, man, like how many of us are stacking up regrets almost like a deck of cards as we go further and further through life? And what I think is interesting is you had communication with your wife, right? And that then helps us to determine what we can do, what we can't do, right? I might not be able to do that with my wife, but you were able to do that with yours because, you know, of her risk tolerance level. Yeah. How do we figure out, like, who our spouse is? and where they stand, not just in risk, but overall, you know, because if I'm working like you were talking about, Larry, and I don't know who my spouse is, and I decide to make a decision, I can really screw things up, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I would say that one of the first things that we do with any couples that we work with is we will walk them through a personality test. And I know that probably everybody in the corporate world has done one of those DISC personality assessments. But, you know, have you applied that to your home? Have you applied that to your marriage relationship or whatever relationships you're in? I don't have like my best friends take that and then analyze them that way. But I'm always thinking like, I bet that guy, he seems like he's the dominant personality. And so I'm going to approach him a little bit differently as a friend. And so as husband and wife, it's really important that you understand each other. That's actually a scriptural concept. And it's a verse, if you look it up, it's 1 Peter 3:7. And that's an instruction to husbands to live with your wife in an understanding way. And sometimes we look at that and we think, God, is this some joke? I'm supposed to understand my wife? Like there's a lot going on in her headspace that just makes zero sense to me. So we're never going to fully get there, but we need to do our best and to understand that the female brain thinks differently than the male brain. It just does. She processes information differently. She's much more relational. Men are much more factual and big picture things. And those are general statements. There's room for movement within that. You don't want to pigeonhole somebody. So again, getting back to the personality types. So we'll get a good understanding, help couples get a good understanding of their spouse. But then to take it to the next level and say, I'm this personality type, my spouse is that personality type, what's the best way to communicate with my spouse? And just to give you an example, I'm an introvert. I am that conscientious type personality. My wife is the more dominant personality. She's an extrovert. And so I handle the finances when it comes to the business. And I do all the spreadsheets and all the detail stuff. I love it. My wife, her eyes just glass over whenever she's looking at a spreadsheet. And I used to talk to her about the finances, and I would be starting at the top of the profit and loss statement, working my way down, and then go through the balance sheet. And she is just checked out. She has no idea what I'm talking about. And I learned that I need to jump to the bottom line for her. Like, here's the bottom line of where we are. Cash flow is down or whatever there's always a challenge, right? So I jumped straight to that. And then here's like three possible solutions. So what's your thought on this? Because we're going to make that kind of decision together. And so that is what's a valuable lesson that we learned in how to communicate with one another and to be intentional about it and to not just, for me, not just start to try to bore her with all these facts and details. And she'll ask questions. She'll want me to fill in some gaps on some things before she can, help in that as we're making this decision together. It's really important that you understand each other whenever you're making these important decisions, when you're communicating just on a day in and day out basis. And then whenever you see a reaction, you're like, okay, I kind of get an idea where that reaction is coming from now. And it just helps you to understand a little bit better.
Yeah. Almost like how you study yourself for self-awareness.
Yeah.
You're also studying your spouse to be spouse aware, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point, Mike, because along the way, I've learned so much about myself. And I've learned so much about like, that's why I do this. And sometimes I see things that are like way out of balance. Like I should not have overreacted to that situation. And like to kind of be a little bit self-aware and to improve yourself. Like, why did I do that? And how can I handle that situation better next time?
One thing that we were talking about before, when we're talking about self-awareness here, I wasn't self-aware, nor did I think I had like a responsibility or reason to work on myself when I had my marriage was totally jacked up, right? I was mad at myself. I was like that angry young man. I wanted to have a better marriage. And so I thought that I could work on my marriage without working on myself. And it's something I've seen plenty of other times with other men. Is that something that you see? And if so, does it work out well?
I see that all the time. And no, it doesn't work out very well. I do think that you need to be working on both, right? So if your marriage is at a bad position, you can't 100% focus on yourself and 0% on the marriage. I don't know what the right percentage is, but you have to show up in the right way for your spouse. And so there has to be a time of introspection. And my wife and I, we do everything together. And as soon as I say that word, everything, but there's moments where we do need just a little bit of downtime, a little bit of time alone, time for a walk, a time for, one of the things that my wife has asked for Mother's Day or her birthday or something like that is a night alone in a hotel. And at the beginning, I was a little bit offended by that, but then I realized, you know what? She needs some alone time too, right? And so we did that a few times. That was whenever the kids were really young, and she was just like, she was like all day because she's not having any adult conversations and such. And so I think it's really important that we are working on improving ourselves day in and day out. That is a scriptural concept as well, that we are to be examining ourselves and then working on that, because then you're going to show up much better in all of your relationships and most certainly in your marriage. So you need to work on both at the same time. And that's a forever thing, by the way. We never arrive. We never get to the point where like, okay, I got that whole marriage thing figured out, or I've arrived as an individual. It's a lifelong pursuit. But constantly working on improving yourself, constantly working on improving your marriage.
I was hoping you would tell me like, hey, read this book and you're done. But it sounds like I'm going to be reading and learning and practicing and doing it until the end of both on myself, my marriage, and also as a father. So
sorry to disappoint.
There's no shortcut or cheat code. Darn.
No.
Yeah. So with having, you're both when you're working and then you're running your own business, that's a certain amount of stress. You're raising 5 children. That's another level of stress. How did you and Sue find space to work on your marriage in the midst of all of that? Because I mean, that's a lot of strain on a relationship. It doesn't, unless you're really working on it and being intentional, it doesn't create the space that you need to create a marriage that flourishes. How did you like set that aside and invest without, depleting the stores either for your business or with the kids?
Yeah, I absolutely love the question, because you have to be very intentional about this. It just doesn't happen naturally. Naturally, everything is going to go the wrong direction for sure. And so we put a few things into place. We had something that we called connection time. And this was very simple. Anybody can put this into place today. And it's, we had a situation where Sue was staying home with the kids and I was working a day job outside the home, but it can work in any environment if you're both working outside or whatever. But whenever you're both come home, whenever you're both home, at the very beginning of that time, so again, in my situation, Sue's at home, I come home, the kids jump up and down, say, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home." I give them hugs. I miss those days. I give them hugs. I spend just a couple of minutes with them. And then Sue and I would sit down on the couch together and we would have 15 minutes of a conversation. We would literally set a timer. And that did a number of things. Number one, it gave Sue and me an opportunity to connect and to have a conversation. It was be like, "How was your day?" type thing. Maybe there was some griping and complaining on both ends about what happened. Maybe it was like, "Hey, I had a fantastic day," if that actually would ever happen. But we had a time of connection. And, but secondly, and this was crucial, is that the kids saw us sitting down talking together. Because if you think about it, in the craziness of the days, the kids may never see you connect as a couple. And it's really important for us to model that kind of a relationship for our children. And I don't think we're intentional enough about that. Sure, you can put the kids to bed and then you get an opportunity to talk, and that's really important as well. But for the kids to observe that, and I'm hearing in my head these questions that some of these young dads have right now, like, how in the world is that possible when the kids are young and they're bouncing off the walls and everything? And so what we would do is we train the kids, and it did not happen very smoothly. And I would say it was a rare occasion that we went 15 minutes with being uninterrupted. And so the first time it's going to be a minute or two, but we sat them down and we explained to them what we were doing. And that would be a time, be a great time for a video to go on the TV for them to watch, or a coloring book or something like that. And then we always told them if nobody's bleeding and, or, you know, a bone sticking out or something like that, just do not interrupt us. All right. So this is our time. And surprisingly, after a week or two or three or 12, you will start seeing that that time expands out, that you get uninterrupted. And that was a pattern we had for years. And by, you know, a year or two into it, and of course, then the older kids got it and they would help the younger kids and such. And it was just a beautiful time. So that was just one thing that we did, that connection time. We're also very intentional about date nights. We're very fortunate that my parents were always willing babysitters. So, but at times where they weren't available for whatever reason, we would share babysitting with other couples. And then a third thing that I'll add was on a bigger scale is we would get away at least once a year for a weekend where we would dream together. We would plan together, goal setting. We talk a lot about developing a mission statement together as a family. And that's when we would work on that type of thing. So those three things, like on a daily basis, that connection time, on a weekly basis, that date time, and then on a longer term basis, at least once a year and quarterly, if we could, a weekend away, just to really focus in on just us as a couple.
And that is so powerful. And I'm sitting here laughing because it's like, I can think back and we literally called it couch time, doing same practice. There's going to be times where the kids come in, but it's like you talked about, sharing with them the why, you know, encouraging them, hey, you know, give us some space. And it does provide like a security, a sense of belonging, but it's like comfort and just knowing that, hey, mom and dad aren't getting divorced, right? And it is so prevalent. I mean, our kids were asking us, you know, like, hey, I saw this going on with my friend and their parents. Are you guys separating? Are you guys getting a divorce? I mean, that stuff, they're young, but they still get it at one level, right? And yeah, the getting away as well, you know, setting that up, planning as much as you can, and just super powerful. Yes.
I'm sorry. One other thing I just wanted to add to this is it also really strengthens the marriage throughout your entire years together. So like the number one time where couples get divorced is in those first 10 years. It's just a difficult time for couples. But the second most common time for divorce is as the couple is empty nested. Because if you've had a child-centered home, then the kids move, you know, they move out and the husband and wife look at each other and go like, now who are you again? And so we have to be intentional during the years where the kids are at home. I always talk about this, that when a husband and wife, when they get married, a new family is formed. And whenever kids come into the family, they are welcome additions to that family. But you are raising them to be responsible adults who are not going to be sitting in your basement whenever they're 45 years old, right? And so you're raising them to move out of the house. And that's a real challenge. We're at the stage where four of our five kids have moved out. Our fifth child, he's 19 years old. He's busy. He's rarely ever home. And so Sue and I are reconnecting at a fun level, And we are really looking forward to empty nesting. I was dreading it for a long time, but now we're looking forward to it. We've been told by older couples that we will enjoy it. You will get used to it and you will enjoy it. So we're trusting that. But that was, we were building the foundation for that during the time where the kids were young. And we were focusing and making sure that the marriage relationship was priority. The kids were very close second. Well, God's first, marriage second, kids third, and then everything else falls after that. So these things that I've outlined here that we coach on and such is laying foundation for today and laying foundation for the future as well.
When you're talking about laying foundation, there is no better word for it, because as our relationship for our children, you know, that they're, when they're growing up, that is the foundation that's being laid, because when they become 18, that is another transition. Because if, you know, like the path that I was on, I was alienating them, right? They become 18. Guess what? They don't want to come back for more of what they were getting growing up if it wasn't healthy. Same thing like you alluded to with Sue, you know, like, hey, you get to empty nesters. Do you know each other? You know, yes, you want to build that foundation. And so what you have just shared is gold that I don't think most of us are even looking to the future to go, what's that next season going to look like? Am I still married? Do I know my wife? Do my children still want me in their life? What you shared there, guys, take note. Make sure this is what you're walking away with and taking action on, is because what you're setting up both with your children and with your wife, this is the launching pad for what comes next. You had mentioned something else really powerful in there as well, Larry, is you said you had a mission statement. And I think we all know what a mission statement is for a corporation, but what does that look like for a family, like what you and Sue have done?
Yeah. And since we work with married entrepreneurs, we always kind of reference the business mission statement. And like you said, everybody kind of gets an idea of that, right? But the family mission statement informs the business mission statement. So whether you're an entrepreneur or not, I think this is super valuable. And honestly, even if you're single, I think this is super valuable. You may call it a purpose statement or something a little bit different, but we try to make things more complicated than what they need to be. And we've taken all kinds of training on how to write a purpose statement, mission statement. We have had times where Sue and I have spent days working on it and we walk away with nothing because it was so overly complicated. So we have whittled this down to something very simple. And I've actually even written a custom GPT for our clients that they can do this entire process in half an hour. And so even with a manual process, it can be done in an hour or maybe 2 hours, something like that. And it involves kind of coming up with who I am, who we are as a family, and what we're trying to accomplish. At its most core level, that's what you're wanting to do. And there's a process to go through. I can walk through that if you'd like. There's a process to go through to develop that in a relatively simple way. But one of the main points I want to make about this is when you come away with that mission statement, most of the time people will take that and if they print it out, it's like, that's very nice. And you stick that in a drawer somewhere. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But you need to use that as a filter and to filter out good ideas, because we are inundated with so many good things that we can be doing. But if we're busy doing good things, then we'll miss the right ideas or the excellent ideas, the things that are really on mission, if you will, right? And so what we do, and again, we use a custom GPT for this. You can literally put in your mission statement. You can give it a little bit of context about, you know, here's who I am and here's what I'm trying to do and here are my goals. And then I've got this opportunity that has come up. And I have been shocked at how good these AIs are about really filtering through and saying, should I do this or not? And these can be for big things. They can be for big career-changing type of decisions, or it can be really smaller things. I think it works better with the big things. But even little things like one example is I had a friend who was he asked me to take him to the airport. So he was flying out of town. We live 45 minutes to an hour away from the airport. And, you know, I think most of us would just say, well, like, of course I'll do that if I've got the time to do it. But thinking about my mission, what is my purpose here in life? What am I supposed to be accomplishing? Part of that is to build into other people's lives. And so that could be an opportunity where I can serve a friend. I don't want to be a jerk about it, right? And leave my friend high and dry with this. But I start thinking, why is he asking me? Well, he's asking me because he's an entrepreneur. And I hate to say it, but kind of the common thought is like, you just sit around all day. You're rich because you own your own business and you really just don't have anything to do all day. And nobody knows that I work, you know, some weeks are 60, 70, 80 hours a week on this business. And it's hard to shut it off, actually. And so again, in that process, and again, I don't want people to think I'm a jerk. Many times I've taken people to the airport and helped them with various things. But when it comes down to it, does that really help me accomplish my goals today? Probably not. And so is there another alternative? Can I suggest somebody? In this situation with my friend, I said, hey, did you think about Bob? Because he just retired. And he's a driver, and he's actually kind of looking for things to do. He loves to drive and do things like that. And he was like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about him. And I said, if he can't do it, let me know, because I can, right? And then, but he was able to find somebody else. And had I not been intentional in my thinking about who am I, and what am I trying to accomplish, and what's going to happen? So it's a 45-minute drive, but it's half a day. You know that I've lost my momentum on whatever I was working on. And by the time I drive over there and back, and maybe there's a traffic situation and all that type of stuff. So I've lost half of the day. And to be honest with you, that just means I'm going to be working until 10 o'clock tonight now. I was going to be able to stop at 5 or 6, but now I'm going to have to work till 10. Does that help me in my relationships? And so sometimes you've got to say no to things that are good opportunities, or maybe they feel right initially. But using that mission statement as a filter to just really focus in on what you're really called to do, you'll be just shocked at how much more progress you'll be able to make toward those goals.
When you were talking about the mission statement, Larry, that sounds like an ideal, with it being an hour or two, that sounds like the ideal thing to do during like a date night, right? To maybe go grab dinner. That could be a nice dinner. It could be, you know, you go grab sub sandwiches, whatever the case may be, to fit your time, your budget, and what's around you. But delving into that stuff on a date, you know, or date night rather, you know, to flesh that stuff out and then figure out, hey, how do we implement this? Dude, that's gold. I love that. So yeah, thank absolutely. You for sharing that as well.
And you know, what's funny, you said that, it was a real struggle for us to have our date nights for a long time. And so we started doing a Sunday night date night. So after church, we would get home, we'd put the kids to bed. You know, we're looking at, it's probably 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30. I would run to the local sub shop and get us a sub sandwich. And we would just sit down, and the two of us, and have this mostly uninterrupted conversation. You know, kids get out of bed. You don't just put them in bed and they're just there. But it was a mostly uninterrupted conversation, but we were intentional about it. And that is the perfect time, like what you said, to do a family mission statement type thing. Just don't overthink it. Just get it down. You're going to get something on paper. You're going to end up going like, that doesn't feel very inspirational. It's okay. You can change it later. You can revisit it in 3 months. And you're like, okay, I got a little bit more clarity here. And you tweak some things. We just changed our mission statement within the last year or so here, as we've added this coaching into what we wanted to accomplish. And so we've had our mission statement. I think we did our first one 25 years ago or even longer. Mm-hmm. Before we had a business, we did this family mission statement, and that kind of informed what we were doing and how we were going to go about starting our business. But yeah, that's a great date night or date weekend activity for sure.
And I think the important thing is, as we're talking about date night, right? You could have young kids, you could have older kids. Like, there is still the chaos of life. As we're talking about date night, Larry, I can think about some of the times I have 4 children. You know, we homeschooled all 4 of them. They're now adults. But man, there were times, Larry, life was so chaotic that was like date night, grocery shopping. That was just, you know, you go to get something and you at least have time without somebody, you know, going, mom, dad, pulling at you, right? And you're able to accomplish something, but still have that time together. And it's like, I don't want people walking away and going, it must be the ideal thing for date night. There are going to be exceptions, times of life, but, you know, it's like the importance of it is there to have that time and communicate, you know, setting specific time aside to create this mission statement, work through it, and then, you know, go from there. But yeah, I was just thinking back on some of the date nights during crazier seasons of life and, you know, those exceptions out there. So,
yeah, I love that. Just, you absolutely want to keep it as simple as possible and just being intentional about getting it done. You do not need to spend much money. We'll still do this. Actually, we'll go to the library and rent a movie there. You don't have to have the streaming services and all that stuff, you know, for free. You can just get a movie, sit down and watch it together. Pop some popcorn, you know, you've got a date night for $1.25, you know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
what can be better, right?
Totally. Every date doesn't have to be that Disneyland experience, so to speak. You know, I've heard this from many of the guys I've worked with. I was actually in this space and, you know, operating from there, but Larry, there was a time where it was like, I looked at it and said, I'm providing for my family. I'm going out and working. I've earned this time of intimacy. The challenge that I found and that I've seen in other marriages is when that communication isn't there, like the health of the marriage isn't there, the intimacy almost seems like a chore. It's not the way we see it as husbands, is not the way the wives necessarily see it, right? Because we're different and unique. Is that something that you see in your clients, is when, you know, we're working intentionally on the marriage and the communication is coming together, does the intimacy seem to kind of follow suit? Or is it something like, you know, you just lay down the law and it miraculously comes about?
Yeah, this is a great example of what I referenced earlier about just the different way that the male mind works versus the female mind. And one of the things that my wife has even talked to me about is that men many times want to have intimacy to clear their mind, right? And it's a way to get rid of all the troubles of the world, and because you can just focus on this very pleasurable act, right? But for women, it's the total opposite. She needs to clear her mind and clear the cares of the world before she can enjoy that action. And so as men, sometimes we think, yes, I quote unquote have earned this because I'm the provider, and we don't recognize that emotional connection that she needs. And so we've had clients before who have said, it's always the men in this situation who will say something about like, well, you know, we're having all these troubles and all that's going on. We're working through that with them. And then he'll say, well, she doesn't want to be intimate. And sometimes I'm even as a man, I'm thinking, how could you possibly think she's considering that right now with some of the words you just said to her and about her? And so, yes, there is a mental, emotional connection that needs to happen before the physical connection. And I think if guys can understand that a little bit better, and this is where just really honest, open communication is so helpful. We even consider that taboo sometimes within the marriage relationship. And guys, open up your minds on this. Ask your wife the question, what does she need before becoming intimate with you? Ask her directly. She will love that question. And be prepared. There may be a list, right? And there may be some things that feel like you can't deliver, or at least not today. Just be honest with that. Just say, this seems a little overwhelming to me. Can we come up with a compromise you know, can I get half the list or whatever works in your relationship. I think that there's a lot of room for negotiation and communication there. But going into it with an open mind, saying, I understand that you're different than me, but this is something that is that we need to have together. It's a very important aspect of a marriage relationship. So how can we solve this problem together as a couple?
And the one thing I know neither of us want to glaze over is, hey, we could be that husband that does want to bring about the change, and there's the other spouse that is unwilling, may have become so distanced. Is there like an episode or a resource that you would guide them to, like an episode of your podcast, Side by Side Business, or some kind of resource that could help men if they're in that spot?
Well, that's really a tough one. And I went into this making an assumption that if I can get the husband on board with relationships, that the wife is just naturally going to jump on board. And I have been shocked that that just doesn't always happen. And I'd have to stop and think about some resources to make available. I know that on our podcast, we talk about foundational things that will lead to helping with this. But I think the probably the primary concept or the word that I would speak to any of the guys who are facing on that right now would just be to say, you need to work on yourself first. You just cannot control your spouse. Honestly, sometimes I feel like I can't even control myself. But I need to work on that, right? I need self-control in my life. So to the best of my ability, I need to control myself, and I need to be working on myself to make myself the better version of me, better than yesterday, right? And then along that way, I think you will see progress with your wife along the way. It's hard to just, again, guarantee that, and it's definitely hard to put a timeline on it, because I think that's another thing that's common for us men is like, I did this yesterday, why is it not better today? And just realizing that it's going to take time, especially if you've got years of not communicating with your spouse, you're just not going to fix that overnight. So I would just encourage you to work on what you can and take control of what you can and take responsibility for what you can. And that all lies within yourself. And then just be really open and honest with your wife and be patient, show grace, give her the time that she needs and maybe the space that she needs for a little time. And if she knows that you're on board, it's just going to help tremendously though.
Well, Larry, as we're wrapping up here, I want to make sure that, you know, guys can connect with you if they're like, yep, hey, this is what I want, but I don't know how to get there. Maybe it wasn't something, you know, like that was modeled for us, you know, in our parents or the relationships that are around us now. How can men connect with you outside of this podcast to get that information about, you know, hey, what does a marriage that's healthy and strong and vibrant, what does it look like and how do I get there?
Yeah, boy, I would love to connect with everyone. I am online. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. But I would also like to give a gift to any of your listeners here today, because we've talked about the family mission statement, and it's just so crucial. And we have provided a resource, a guide that will walk you through those steps and give you some questions to ask. And again, this can work for an individual. It definitely is. It's designed for a couple for sure. And so in order to get that resource, if you would just go to sidebysidebusiness.com/family, because it's a family mission statement. So sidebysidebusiness.com/family, you'll see the access to that resource there. That'll get you on our email list as well. And there'll be an opportunity for us to connect further down the line as well.
Awesome. Larry, I will make sure to have that in the show notes so that guys don't have to, you know, try and type that in while they're driving and create another situation. So we'll be sure to have it easily and readily available for guys. So Larry, thank you so much for your time today, all the information you've shared, and super grateful for it. So thank you, Larry.
Mike, thank you so much for having me on. This has been a great conversation, and really, this is part of my mission, is to help and to encourage and to equip couples, and especially the men. I just have such a heart for men. If you're, whether you're in a great relationship or whether you're really struggling, either way, there's hope, and there is, there's help for the future. And I just love to connect with anybody that would reach out.
Fantastic. Thank you, Larry. Thanks so much, my friend, for joining me on another episode. If you found the information within the show helpful, please leave a review on the platform you're listening to. It helps raise the show's visibility so other men can join us in breaking free. See you on the next episode, and remember to continue putting yourself out there. Have a great one.